morning.
Morning.
This is what you sound like after you've gone from cold weather to warm weather, back to cold weather, to colder weather. We've always said that as we travel and go to Cuba, I thought this was going to be an exception to the rule this year, because we always said it snows or we always have bad weather. Remember that? When did it do last Sunday? It wasn't snowing in Cuba, I'll tell you that. But we said, well, you know, I appreciate the good Lord keeping our schedule right on track. We got to have bad weather here at some point while we're gone. But at any rate, we thank you for your prayers. God did some incredible things. We look forward to sharing those along the way with you as we have time. You'll hear a little bit about those today. But first of all, look around. Give somebody a wave. Let them know that you are glad to be here. You're glad to be in the house of the Lord today. You are glad to worship together. Now, come on. I've seen people in churches that were sitting on hard benches that look happier than y'all look this morning. I've seen people sitting in non-conditioned places with less than fragrant odors passing through that look happier than y'all do this morning. Quit looking American and start looking Christian. Now look at somebody and give them a smile, a real one. And if you can't conjure up a real one, give them a fake one that looks real. For all those that are tuned in today, look, be sure to say hello to Dr. John Cazito. We appreciate him. He is there to answer any questions that you may have along the way. Be sure to say hello to him. So don't think that you're going to get by without giving him a smile. You can send him a smiley face out there. That way, Doc will know that you're there, you're alive, and you're breathing, and you didn't just turn it on and walk away to make everybody think that you were watching and attending church. But at any rate, listen, it is good to have the opportunity to gather together in the name of the Lord. We look forward to what the Lord's going to do in our hearts today as we seek Him. But let's set that tone today as we come together, as we sing. May it truly be praise and worship to Him. As we get around the Word, may it be valuable to us. May we be tuned into what the Spirit has to say. So let's look to the Lord in prayer as we begin this morning. Our Father, we come to you today again grateful and thankful for this opportunity. Father, so many times we take for granted the opportunities that we have because they come so easily. Lord, we just ask that as we take this moment today for us to realize that you have appointed this time. You have given us this opportunity to be able to gather. Lord, you have brought each and every person to this place for a specific reason today. Lord, sometimes it is that we might hear from you. Sometimes it's that somebody may need to hear from us what you've taught us. But Lord, you have brought us together as a body of believers. I pray that today we will be still in your presence for these few moments, that we will concentrate on what the Spirit has to say, that we might learn from you, that we might draw close to you. Father, as always, I pray that if there's one that does not have a relationship with you, that today truly would be the day that relationship would begin and that the joy would truly fill their life that would continue on for all of eternity. So, Lord, this time is yours. This service is yours. Speak to our hearts. Help us to be moved towards you as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
So great to have the team back, and I picked standing on the promises because Roy always says, what is it, sitting on the premises? Or
we're singing standing on the promises while we're busy sitting on the premises.
Okay, there you go. Well, good. Well, I picked that on purpose. If you'll stand with me as we sing hymn number 335.
Standing on the promises of Christ, my King.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Please join with me singing Great Is Thy Faithfulness, hymn number 54. Excuse me.
I say that because if you've ever gone or been on a mission trip, you've ever been on this particular mission trip, you've been gone for about a week, when you get back, it's kind of like trying to get back into play. Remember back in the old days when they had the double jump rope? It's kind of like it's going and you're like, so Where do I jump back on the on the train after this thing? Because it's like, I don't know if it's possible yet. We got in, our flight got in Friday night about, I think it was, 10:30? Like 10:30 Friday night. And then, of course, Jimmy and I had disaster relief training in Ashboro. I'd be there at 7:30 Saturday morning, and I think we got done with that, had to take a piece of equipment back to Shelby and got in about 10 last night. So I'm liable to work from home tomorrow for a while. But today, we want to look at some scripture passages, and I want to share a few things with you that had just come to my heart about what I had observed and had the opportunity to live over this past week as we took the time to be in Cuba, to serve them, to be with those folks. If you got your Bible, we're going to be looking at passages that come out of the book of 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Y'all might get a reprieve as long as I can't hear anything. Altitude and all that, my ears are all stopped up, and I'm not sick. I just can't do my thing here. I feel like I'm talking inside my head, so y'all pray for me. I know what y'all gonna pray. Pray that he loses it and we get out of here quick. Now, but at any rate, as we have the opportunity, and several years have passed since we had the opportunity to once again be a part of the mission to Cuba and to be with those folks. It's been three long, hard years of praying for them, three long, hard years of them suffering even more so than we know now. And we really didn't know exactly what to expect as we took the time to arrive and to see them after 3 years. You know, things looked different from the airport all the way through. But there's two phases of things that as we've had the opportunity to reconnect once again that I've seen. Now, I will tell you, things are not better off. In fact, things are worse. Just like everywhere else around the world, for the most part, things are worse than they were before. As we were there, food was at an extreme shortage, more so than any of our teams had ever experienced. In fact, our driver would go around into the wee hours of the morning just to find a piece of bread for us for breakfast in the morning. They had no eggs. They had this, and I'm talking about things we used to have. You know, we used to have opportunity to have an egg every morning, and everything was just done up really, really nice. They didn't have it. You can't give what you don't have. So a piece of bread was grateful in the morning. Now, we had a taste of home because we took peanut butter with us, so that made it good. Lunch, they gave what they had. Matter of fact, what we had was better than what they had. Yet, and of course, they didn't want us to know that by any stretch of the imagination, but they would have something that was like I would call it a pea soup, and yet we would have what little bit of malanga they could come up with, or what little bit of plantains they could come up with. And in days gone by, we called it family style. They would have like a basket of those on the table or whatever. They didn't have that this time. They had a few on your plate. They even had trouble getting pork. There were several days, a lot of times at breakfast, we had Spam. And that was a big deal. We had some Spam. So we might put a little piece of Spam on our bread. I think a couple days we had that, and I think a couple nights for supper, didn't we have Spam for supper? But you know something? God is good. And all the time, God is good. Although we saw what they were going through, they were so excited to see us come back. Excited to serve. And there's a team that served us. Now, we didn't get a chance to spend much time with the senior adults at the retirement center because they're still under the quarantine protocols. You know, you can't bring a bunch of people in here and get the senior adults sick. They still have the mask protocols, and we certainly understand that. So we actually were living in the intensive care unit that we helped build right behind the center, which is connected to it. So it's funny to walk in there and say, I remember when this used to be a pile of gravel all the time, or we sifted sand over here, and it's like, now it's our dining room. And yeah, And God has just continued to bless in that regard, that they didn't have anybody in there to where we could stay there. And they were so excited just to see us arrive. I mean, I was pretty excited to see them. It's been a long time. We couldn't wait. But God did some incredible things that I want to share with you, probably in some different phases. But first of all, I think we had shared before about how things were going to be difficult, the things that they needed, things that we felt like we had to get over there. And we had to, God was going to have to do some things or it was going to be really expensive. So we wound up, for those of you who don't know, we wound up having to, we took those four tires, and what we wound up doing after looking at them and scratching our heads and everything was we put them in some bags. Then we took the medical supplies, the gauze, the toiletries, and all this stuff, and we packed them in tires like we were drug dealers. All through the tire. Then we folded the bag over on it. And then I thought, this is not going to work. I said, the bag is too... All these crazy things. It's just, how are we going to do this? And Blake said, just do it like they did down there when we took that charter flight. Just shrink wrap the whole thing. I said, sound like a plan. Mike said, I got shrink wrap. We shrunk wrapped them puppies up. And when we got done with them, you know what they looked like? A shrink wrap tire. So we had those and other bags, and we thought, of course, that's not going to be allowed to get into the country. Well, it would be allowed in, but we would have to pay a tax equal to 100% of the value of the item. You were going to know that that was a tire going through there. So we got to check in down here at Greensboro, and the lady that Mike Stone, our platinum member, that everybody got to fly under his reservation, so that baggage money that we were going to have to spend, which was going to be at least $800 just to get the tires over there, became absolutely free. We got to check those bags. All our bags went free. So then we thought, well, when we get into Cuba, we feel like they're going to search all this stuff and we're going to answer a bunch of questions. And when we got there, we didn't even go to where we normally went. And we're going, oh, this is new. We've never been here before. I called it purgatory. We were put there for an hour to wait, and we didn't know why. But then finally, we got over to Customs and Immigration, only to find out that the reason why was there was a plane had landed just before us from Spain that had a bunch of people on it. They're not that ready to handle that number of people, so they had to wait on us. And when we finally got through, we got into the area where you claim your luggage, and it was just shoulder to shoulder. And although it took a while, not one single bag that we had was opened, searched, dealt with in any other way other than for us to pick it up and take it out of there. That's a God thing. Unless you've experienced it, that's a real God thing. So when we got over there and had the chance to open them up, we're like passing out. Here's a tire for you and a tire for you, and here's two more tires for the van. And the nurse was extremely excited over the medical supplies that were sent, the toiletries and everything. It was just like Christmas, and you could just see them beaming. But I say all this to get to a passage of Scripture that just really stands out to me about the Christians over there that we deal with that have nothing. I mean, everything is an effort. Everything is a chore. We didn't have much fried food because they couldn't even buy a bottle of cooking oil. And even if you had money, it wasn't really any good because they had this almost like, they call it MLC, which is an electronic type currency that your pesos are put on a card and that's all you can use in the store. Again, a way to control. So you sit there and think, well, money that we have is not any good. No, it was good because God had a plan and a reason for it. But I wanted to say about the people who were there that took care of us. They loved us. We couldn't even communicate. We've seen them for years. We don't know Spanish. They don't know English. But there's a universal language called the language of love and the language of care that you can read from however far, whatever distance there is. There was this group of ladies that fed us every day, three times a day at that. They took care of cleaning our rooms. They cleaned our bathrooms. They did our laundry. But let me tell you what was so amazing about it. They wanted to. They did it with vim, vigor, and vitality. You know why? Because that's the gift and the talent that God had given them. And they were so excited to be able to exercise and utilize that. And that reminds me of our scripture text for today, 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning with verse 7. It says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. Above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray. Father, you're good to us. Good in so many ways that, Father, we often take them for granted. Lord, I pray that today you would help us to truly take heed to this passage, that we would understand the gifts that you've given us, and Lord, that we would exercise them out of joy. Lord, out of a necessity in our life to serve you. Father, I pray that we wouldn't be grumblers, as verse 9 says. But Lord, that we would take full advantage of the talents and abilities that you've given us to use for your honor, for your glory, for the sake of the kingdom. Now, Lord, speak to our hearts is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as I thought about this, and there's one of the ladies that's on that crew over there. She is the Energizer Bunny. She is the ramrod. But I will tell you one thing. She has a love light that shines around this world. Some of you, I will guarantee you that if some of you are on social media, on Facebook, you may have gotten a friend request from a lady named Kenya Vega. If you have, that's her. If you're lonely, you will never, thank you, Ken. If you are lonely, as long as Kenya's around, she will highlight your day. If you saw pictures of our team on Facebook, Kenya was putting them up because she would take pictures of our crew. You know why? Because that's her area of service. And not only does she have an opportunity to serve the senior adults that live in that center every day, she's excited to be able to serve us. They cheered. They had videos of us arriving. They were waiting on us to show up and cheered for us. You know, every day they enjoyed coming in and making breakfast. Every day they would look, and Kenya would give me the look, because believe it or not, I don't eat as much as I used to, even in Cuba. And she would be looking at me like, well, Jeff called it the stink eye. And she's like, why are you not eating? And then, of course, obviously, you're sitting there thinking, is there something wrong with the food? I'm like, no, the food's wonderful. And I'm just like, I can't eat like I used to. I was like, I used to weigh 268 pounds. That's why. But her job was to make sure, listen, her job that God gave her was to keep this team fed, clothed, and healthy. And that woman took her job seriously. It's a day that Jeff was kind of down from not feeling well. And Ken, you don't know Spanish, but we picked at him. That night, she made him some tea and some honey. Of course, we picked at him and said he was going to wake up with his head shrunk down about that big tomorrow. But she was doing everything she could to keep Jeff, everything that she knew to get Jeff healthy. And even when Jeff didn't feel like eating a meal, when we were getting ready to go out and do something, she had the translator put, you know, I think it was like his soup or something else, which one, so Jeff could just point to it when he was ready to eat, because she was ready to serve. We found out that we didn't know that they had been preparing for our team to come in for quite some time, and Pastor Donas's charge and challenge to them was the nose challenge. We learned this the last day, was the nose challenge. And some of y'all would say, what is the nose challenge? Well, the nose challenge was no offensive odors. If you've never been to Cuba, you will understand what kind of a task that is. Because things are not like they are here. I'll just not get graphic, but you can imagine. When you go to the bathroom, you don't flush toilet paper. That just gives you an idea. Well, you know what? There were no offensive odors. They took what they could do. And you and I would sit back in America and we would say, well, that's no big deal. I'd cook a meal for somebody or whatever. I want to call your attention back to our text. And it says in verse 7, but at the end of all things at hand, therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers, and above all things have fervent love for one another. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good servants of the manifold grace of God. You know what Kenya's thing was? I can cook, and I can cook for the glory of God, and I'm going to cook myself to heaven. And she was happy to do it. She would find ways to do what she could do. Do we do that here? Do we look to find ways to use our talents and our abilities? You see, although she was still using them, and all those ladies were using those talents and abilities with the senior adults in the senior center, they got to ratchet it up a notch because a team was coming that we get to take care of. And their thing was, God has sent this team here. They are God's messengers, and we're to take care of them, and we're to serve them. But that's not hard to do. You know why it's not hard to do? Because before they did any of that, they loved us. You get a bunch of old Americans coming into some place, sometimes we can be hard to love. At the end, it still chokes me just because you love them. When we were getting ready to leave, because of your generosity, because you let the Lord lead you, there were some great and incredible things that this team was allowed to do while we were there. Some might call some things frivolous. We called it God's grace and God's leadership. I just want to say, you know, at one point the guys were working on the outside. We were painting the place, and we went by where the senior rec room, the hangout, and I noticed that there was two little old ladies sitting there watching a 12-inch black and white TV. And I kept thinking, back years ago, they used to have a TV on the wall. And I asked Pastor Donis, I said, what happened to the TV? He said, well, it broke about 5 years ago. I was like, oh. I told him, I said, we want to get a TV and put it in there. And he's like, oh, no. And I mean, when you're sitting there thinking about the difference between food or a television, where does your thought go? And of course, Pastor Donis is that guy who God has used in some incredible ways. And you know, every now and then, you know, I had to chat with him, and I said, we want to purchase a television. He said, I can't ask you to do that. I said, you're not asking us to do that. I'm asking you if we can do that. And he said, well, I wouldn't. He said, I could never ask you all for something like that. And I said, you are not asking me for it. We are asking you. See, he's such a humble man. And his thing is he said, you know, I would love to be able to have that for the seniors because they miss that opportunity of being able to come together. I said, well, let's go buy a TV. I said, we got money. He said, well, you can't spend U.S. dollars into stores. All you have to have this MCL pesos thing. But guess what else we found out? There was another pastor who was going to be purchasing a home. And by the way, when you say a home, you're talking about a church because that's where the churches are. The churches are built a house, and that's where the church is. So he'd worked with this guy. This has been years in the making, years in the paperwork. So then the guy says he wants payment in U.S. dollars. So it took a long time for them to get the U.S. dollars to be able to pay this guy. Well, then the guy says, no, he wants pesos. So when they did the exchange, the pesos had to go on to the MCL card, virtual money. Then the guy comes and says, nope, now he wants the payment in U.S. dollars, and there was no way to do that until the North Carolina team showed up. So you know what he said? We can't spend dollars, and you can't convert back to it, so let's take Pastor Joelkus's card, and let's go shopping. I said, because everything that we buy on Pastor Joelkus's card will be in pesos, and what we're going to do is we're going to give him the money in U.S. dollars. And what did he need? U.S. dollars. No other way to get it. So we went on a card swiping spree. We went down there and said, we found a television. And I said, that's about half of what we thought we were going to pay for that. Give us two. And give us an antenna and give us this and give us that. And then Pastor Donis is having a hard time with us. He smiles. He's from ear to ear. And he said, now I won't ever be able to get the senior adults in bed. He said, they'll be watching. And I think that TV from the day it went up did not shut off from the time we left. And they're all in there having a wonderful time. You wouldn't think that that's a big deal, but you know what? It's nice to be able to have a little comfort in those senior years. And I said, hey, man, you know what? Sometimes God says, I want to send you a little something different. The only people that got coffee are the residents. The workers were drinking a coffee-like thing made out of chickpeas. And of course, coffee's a big deal over there, more so than a big deal over here. So what did you guys do? You guys said, we can't have that. So we took Joelkus's card, we went to the store, and we bought them a year's supply of coffee, not only for the residents, but for the workers. You would have thought that they had just won a gold medal when Pastor Donis told them that. There was cheers. It was like, we get coffee. And he said, not only do you get coffee, you get the best coffee. You get the best coffee. That's because of you guys. There are going to be 122 college students that will go to camp because you sent 122 college students to camp that's coming up. They don't know it yet. This was a challenge for them. The money that they were going to have to raise for college students to be able to go on a 3-day camp trip from Santiago to Holguin. And in fact, when the pastor said, here's what it's going to cost. Now, I don't want this to scare y'all. We're going to try to do some fundraisers. We're going to do all this. You know what it was going to cost each student? It was going to be the equivalent of $9. And you know what the Lord said to us? How much you need? We visited a pastor, and I walked into a... It's one of the guys I've seen for like 18 years of going down there. And it's out in the country. I mean, it's out in the country. It's like a carport. Literally, the church is about the size of the conference room. It has a portico over it. You may have remembered I said years ago that a storm had come through and blown the roof of the pastor's house off, and the government gave them the roof sheathing, and instead of sheathing their house, they sheathed the church. And the primary instrument is a tambourine. The pastor's wife plays it, and she is proud of that. And I walked into a music store to pick up the things that we were going to take there, and what did I see on the wall? A tambourine with a dove on it. What did the Lord say? You would have thought we had given her the world when we gave. I said, I thought about you. And you know what she said? She hugged that tambourine and she was so excited. And you know what she said? Just last week, she said, I was praying to God for a new tambourine because mine's broken. And she got it. That's how God answers prayers. God saw us coming from a mile away. God knew what the needs were going to be, and He led your heart with some record giving. That church, you are providing for the pastor and his wife a bathroom in their home. We went up the street to Verde Mar and visited that church as well. Because of you all, their outdoor kitchen is going to be built. The pastor's parsonage that has rebar sticking up out of the countertops are going to be repaired because of you guys. Oh, by the way, I think that was going to be, it was 120 kids going to camp from the Fourth Baptist Church. We went to a place and said, we have some materials and supplies that the Lord has sent us with musically, just a few strings and some things like that. And we said, we got electric guitar strings, but we see that you all don't have any electric guitars. You used to have electric guitars. Why aren't you playing electric guitars? They said, because we don't have any strings for them. That's how God works. The interesting part about it is, and why did I say all that? The love that they served us with was incredible. If all of us exercised that kind of love, this world would be a completely changed place. I use these scriptures because I talked about how they served with gladness. They served with excitement. They served with anticipation. But I also want to say something to you guys that were back here. Some of you all will never understand what that was like, but you're a part of it. Because as I thought about them and I thought about Central Baptist Church, we're pretty beat up over the past couple years, aren't we? But you rose to a challenge and you rose to an occasion that you have not ever done before in the past. And I thought of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning with verse 6, that says this, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is also able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for the food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything for all liberally which cause thanksgiving through us to God. Now, I want to hold off right there for just a minute, because that's what you did. God has done some and is going to be doing some incredible things with what was left behind to do ministry. I mentioned before that you also paid the Awana missionary's annual salary plus his expense account. When we were able to leave that place, we were able to tip those who served us. Now, you have to think that even with inflation, what, about $50 a month is the average Cuban's salary. That's about what it is. It used to be 15, kind of pre-pandemic, 15 to 20. Now it's 50, but everything else has gone up, and you can't buy anything in the stores, and it's not available. For each cook, you provided a tip of 3.5 months' salary. For each laundry person, 3.5 months' salary. For the retirement center, $2,000+ for their operating budget. For the workers there, you provided what is going to provide for them a Christmas bonus and a Christmas party. When you begin to see all the things that God has done, ministry that's going to continue on. Pastor Donas cracked me up because he and I are a lot alike in some ways. When we met with the pastor of the Fourth Baptist Church to let him know that we had prayed and we felt like God was leading us to provide for this camp, Pastor Donas was sitting there with it. The pastor was just ecstatic. And our pastor Donas said, "Don't tell them. Don't tell the kids." And he's like, "What do you mean?" He said, "If you tell them now," he said, "then they'll get lazy." He said, "They need to have some skin in the game." He said, "Let them raise some funds. Let them do their part. Let them see how God blesses when they do their part." I was like, "What he said?" Because I don't speak Spanish, but we had a Jose. Oh, by the way, Jose is getting a little older. Transportation is a little tougher for him. He was looking for an electronic bike. Electronic bicycle. You all bought him one. You paid his family. But I think one of the greatest things is we left him a bag of Slim Jims. We do that every year because his wife literally takes them and cuts them up in soups and stews for flavoring, for spice. Now, one thing that I ask you to pray about, because this place is very near and dear to our hearts, those who have continued to go, Pastor Donas is going to retire. He feels like he has to because he has a special needs son. The place that he lives is on the top of the retirement center. He knows that he can't continue to do. He said, "Ruth and I don't have that much longer, and we have to make provision for Donito." They will be moving back to the poorest part of the country, a place called Moa, where their other son is currently there. Their other son is obviously going to take care of Donito when Pastor Donis and Ruth are gone. But he said they need somebody who can keep on going. But I'm going to tell you something. It's going to be hard to find somebody who loves those senior adults like he does. In our goings and comings, we had to go by the hospital 3 times a day. You know why we had to go by the hospital 3 times a day? Because one of the residents there had had surgery the week before. He had prostate surgery. I would say he probably has prostate cancer, but he had his prostate and 2 tumors removed. Pastor Donis carried the man's food up to him 3 times a day, breakfast, lunch, and supper. The retirement center had a nurse or caregiver who was with that man in the hospital all the time, because that's how they look after each other. By the way, getting around fuel, you could only get fuel when they called you and told you you could get fuel. They had been preparing literally for months for us to come, just to have enough fuel to get us where we need to be, to try to get enough food to feed us. I think God made me not hungry this past week so they could have more. Because I can promise you, they didn't throw nothing away. What you didn't eat, they did. And Kenya was thinking, is there something wrong? Is there something wrong with the food? What can we do to make it better? Like, there's nothing wrong. She would say, I have to answer to 3 people. She said, first of all, I have to answer to God for how I take care of you. She said, second, I have to answer to Pastor Donis for how I take care of you. And third, I have to answer to Mrs. Carter for how I take care of you. But see, she would say the same thing to Mrs. Willard, Allred. There's people who, they just loved us. It's funny because they're not a lot different than we are. You hear them sing hymns. At the retirement center, it's traditional hymns. When it was the other churches, where was it? What was it? It was praise and worship music. But you know what? It didn't keep them apart. It didn't draw lines in the sand. It was worship. And that's what mattered. Worship. Yeah, but they had different tastes. I said, we got to meet with the brass. We were lucky, man. They brought the president in, and we got to sit with his cabinet. And I'm supposed to bring you greetings back from the president of the Eastern Baptist Convention that shows the love and care for how long this church has stayed the course in Cuba. The president said, nobody has been with us as long as y'all. And that tells us a lot about you. It tells us a lot about your church. And he said, you are welcome here anytime. You walk in, what's ours is yours. Because you love us. Because you care for us. Not because you're going to try to break your arm patting yourself on the back when you get home saying you've been on a mission trip. But you've been here when it hurt. You've been here when it's been tough. You've been here through the good and you've been here through the bad. And because of that, we call you one of us. And me, with all of my glorious accents, said, thank y'all. He said, tell your church how special you are to us. Send greetings back to the State Convention of North Carolina about how special you are to us. What does that have to do with what we're talking about today? For the church, it has to do with those passages that we just read. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. But let me tell you what you guys have done. You've dug deep. You've given till it hurts. And let me tell you something right now. There's a whole bunch of crop going to be coming in over in Cuba. We saw stuff. I mean, I'm trying to get it all in my head right now. I can't because my head's not here. It's somewhere floating around in outer space. But all of the things. My challenge to our team when we got there was to look for God's invisible attributes. I said, because you're going to have to pay attention because we're only going to be here for a week. So God's going to have to do some stuff fast and you're going to have to pay attention. Pay attention. Look at what God leads. Listen to what God tells us. Listen to what's taking place. And He sent us to exactly the places that we needed to be with the resources that were needed to be had that were just incredible to them. Here's $1,000 for this. Here's $2,000 for that. Here's coffee. See, I had to buy the coffee because I knew Pastor Donis didn't have it in his heart to do it. So I was the one dragging them off the shelf and putting them in the cart and saying, put that on his card. That was fun too. Swipe that on his card. Oh, and here's another thing. By the time we got back, Pastor Yoelkus with the card, we had converted all his money back to U.S. dollars. That before this, there was no way to do. We did not dig a hole. For the first time in 2018 of going, but 20 years total, we didn't dig a hole. But what we painted, no hole. Jeff was disappointed. He's like, no hole to dig. And the one we dug last time, they poured the concrete pillars on and covered them up with dirt. They're still the same way they were when we left 3 years ago. Because you got to have money. You got to have resources. You got to have what's needed to do that. And right now, the most important thing is literally give us this day our daily bread. And folks, unless you've lived that, you don't understand it. But I also want to tell you something that I saw that they never wanted us to know. You see, there was one day I had to make a quick run through the TV room. And that's where some of the residents were eating. And I saw what they were eating versus what we were eating. Broke my heart. Broke my heart. Like I said, it looked like pea soup or something. And they were happy to have it. In just a few minutes, we will probably throw away more at lunch than what they'll have all day. Let me tell you something. God blesses us beyond anything we could ever imagine. When they say, give us this day our daily bread, they literally mean it. Because I heard the van start at nights. And I know what was going on. He was going into town to try to find bread for us for breakfast. And he might have to go place to place to place, but he always came back with one of them government things that looked like a hamburger buns, what it looked like. And it was with gratitude. Every morning, I would take my bun and I'd cut it in half. And then I'd split it because Pastor Donis would sit right beside me. And I'd always look at him and I'd say, you want to split one with me? Because he wasn't going to eat one. So I would split one with him because that made me feel better because that meant that there was going to be a bun left over for somebody. So Pastor Donis and I would have a spam sandwich for breakfast. Now, I had to put some American French's mustard on it. That was good. But, man, I'm going to tell you one thing. When we left, Kenya, the ringleader, they took a box. And she had taken a red pipe cleaner, and the red pipe cleaner was sticking out of the box and had a little heart on it. And it was tied up, so I had to open it up, and then there was like little confetti type stuff in it. And then I had another box in it that was like a tea box. Then I opened it up, and it had more confetti. It was like one of the Chinese things that you keep. To finally got down to where there was a bottle, and it had rocks in it. But it had a note in it. And I plan on bringing that note to read to you. It was from the Cuban team to us. And as Kenya read it, she read it with tears in her eyes because of their love for us. What can you say? It's just so hard to, it's hard to go. It's hard to see what they go through. It's hard to leave. But it makes you more driven to go back. And I just wish, and I hope and pray that you understand your part that God has blessed in when it comes down to this. You provided the resources to do all that. Because God led you, we just carried it and paid attention. But it was so great to be able to say, God met your need here. And we didn't do that by grandstanding and saying, look at what we did. We're saying, look, we're just UPS for God. God sent us from America to here. You put in an order. Here's your order. You know, honey, you put in an order for the tambourine. Oh, that's you? Here you go. But man, that's fun when you see God work like that in such incredible ways. I saw him meet so many different needs. Yeah, Yo Elkas can't get his church because he can't get U.S. dollars. Like, that's all we got. And we can't buy in Cuban stores with U.S. dollars. I don't have a degree in accounting or economics, but you got what we need and we got what you need. So how do we make that work? Well, you can't buy in the store. You got to use this card. I said, ain't that what's got to be converted? Here's how we convert it. Let's go shopping with Yo Elkas' card. And I said, everything we buy, we convert it over to U.S. dollars, and I give you the U.S. dollars. I get to be Bank of God. Yeah, God's going to change your money for you. And when we left, his money was changed. Now, sometime this year, that property will be sold. That's where he will build a house, which means his church. I wish I could just take y'all with me. Two things. This is what I want you to gather today as a close. When it came down to using what God's given you, do you use it with the vitality that the folks we experienced did? Listen, when you sing, do you really sing with heart? I saw this guy playing the drums at Fourth Baptist Church. You remember seeing him? That guy looked like Animal Man. All you could see was the smile on his face. He was in his own worship world, but he was loving where he was. And I loved where he was. Let me try this. Choir, when y'all sing next Sunday, sing because you're enjoying the fact that God's allowing you to do that for him. Don't worry about hitting a sour note. Don't worry about trying to read the music. Just enjoy serving the Lord. Because when you do, it puts a smile on your face. That gets contagious. It puts a smile on everybody's face. I was up meeting with a pastor at Duke Row, and I'm like, where's half my team? Well, they're downstairs singing songs with the praise band from the... And I'm like, y'all missed out. I had their cups of coffee. I had like three of them. I thought, if you ain't here, that's too bad. That was some of the best we had. Oh, Mike's not up here. Missed it out, man. But listen, can you serve with joy? Can you be a Kenya? Can you say, I am excited today to use my talent, my ability, and my gift for God? And I'm going to do it with joy. Can we be cheerful givers because we have? Listen, you did. This past year, you did. I pray to God that He will continue to lead us to do that, because He is going to change lives. He is going to change this world. There have been literally thousands of people that are going to be touched because of what you did and what you sent us with. I can't wait to tell you what's going to happen next year. Because you didn't just do ministry for a week. You did ministry that's going to last. And I love it. I look forward to it. See, I love doing what I do. I'm thankful for what voice He gave me, for Ken getting me a bottle of water. I made it through. And I went long. That's what happens when a preacher goes on a mission trip. Here's my challenge, my question. My question is really this. First of all, have you trusted Christ? You're not going to have the joy of the Lord. You're not going to know what joy is if you don't have Jesus. It's not jumping through hoops. It's not going through the motions. It's a love for Him. It's a faith and a trust that says, Lord, I don't know where my next meal is going to come from, but I know You're going to provide it. And believing it's going to happen and seeing it happen on a daily basis. That's faith. Have you trusted Christ? Have you given your life to Him? Do you live for Him? Do you serve Him? And when you're serving, you might sit back and say, you know, all I can do is cook and clean. There's a place for you. Ask Kenya. There's joy in that. You can ask her. I mean, you could probably literally ask her. She's a Facebook follower. How many people in here that have Facebook have her as a friend? Look, see these hands? You've never been to Cuba, but Kenya's your buddy, isn't she? She's a sweetie. And she'll keep you going. She even brought her husband to see me, the one that had surgery we'd been praying for, back surgery. He's doing real good. We're family. Are we serving? And then number two, are we cheerful givers? We pretty much gave everything. We didn't come back with anything. That was God's mind. We have a little bit we've come back with because we had to. We had to make sure we could get out of the country and whatnot. Didn't know what was going to happen, but very little. But that was all God's. That's what you gave. It's on the field. Are you a cheerful giver? Real giver, real server. Has your heart been challenged? What has God challenged your life to be in relation to Him? Something more than just, I come to church on Sunday and I go away. Where are you involved in a way that changes your life? What do you need to do? I'm going to ask our musicians to come forward as we prepare for our time of invitation. And I know this is a different kind of a message today. It's more of a testimony kind of thing. But I ask you, see, you were part of this. I pray that you're as excited as we are, because without you, none of this would happen. Without your prayers, I don't believe God would have blinded the people in the airports. Without your prayers, I don't think God would have saved us literally thousands of dollars in fees. I don't think we would have seen the things God wanted us to see, because I know you guys were praying for us. Never underestimate that. How much more does God want us to do? What has He said to you? How's He spoken to you? Do you need Christ? Do you need some time with Him? Do you need that altar? Maybe we just needed a swift kick in the pants. Maybe you just need to not eat for about a week and become grateful once again for the daily bread that God provides. Sometimes he does that. What is it that God's spoken to you in your heart about? Would you stand with me as we sing our invitation hymn, You Do Business with God? Bowed and your eyes are closed and you continue to pray to God. What is it that he's spoken to your heart about? What particular area? Maybe it was encouragement. Maybe God gave you some encouragement today because of the things that you've done. Maybe he gave you an attaboy today. Maybe he said you need to get more involved. Maybe he said you need to serve with a true heart of gladness. Whatever it is, what do you need to do? Make that commitment today. As you continue to pray, I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way to the front as we receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to him. Father, right now I pray that you will continue to help us. Thank you, Father, for a church that understands what it means to tithe, what it means to give back to you, what it means that others might be blessed by it. Father, I pray that you would just continue to instill within us and our children, our grandchildren, the heart of giving, because the Lord loves a cheerful giver. So, Lord, right now, may you bless the tithe and the offering, and may you truly bless the cheerful giver as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Just a couple things. We'll get you out of here. Be sure in your going abouts and coming to this week, today's birthdays, Dina Smith and Ernie Wall. Happy birthday. Yeah. They take checks or cash, so send them to them. And tomorrow, Paul, he'll even take your credit card. His birthday's tomorrow. Paul Johansson going to celebrate another trip around the sun. No anniversaries that we know of this week. Just a couple things to let you know. Sanctuary doors were rekeyed on Monday. So if you need a key to this building, be sure to see myself or Tim Wharf so you can get a replacement key, because if you have a key, it doesn't work anymore. There you go. You'll need a new one. See me or Tim. We'll get you one. Quarterly business meeting after the service tonight. Is that right? Yeah, tonight. Today? Right. In a few minutes. My brain's still somewhere between Cuba. We're going to have a business meeting in a few minutes. There we go. A few minutes. That's our quarterly business meeting. Now listen, stay around for the business meeting if you are a voting member. We need you to do that. I'm just going to say it outright, because if not, then we're just going to have to come to your house each time and get your vote for when we need stuff. This is important. This is where, you know, business of the church gets done. So that's immediately after the service today. D-Life group, that's my group, 3:30 today in the conference room. Building grounds meeting at room 116. Is that still on for today? In room 116 of the other building. Choir practice, 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock. Band practice? All right. We'll make sure. Band rehearsal, 7 o'clock tonight after a prayer meeting. Bible studies at 6 o'clock. Awana's at 5:30. Every Wednesday, there is a men's prayer breakfast, or not prayer breakfast, it's a fellowship breakfast at 10 o'clock at the Olympic Restaurant. If you can be there, come join the guys. Olympic Restaurant in Colfax, they would enjoy that. And the CBC Classic Gospel Singers practice has now been moved from Sundays to Mondays. So if you are part of the CBC Classic Gospel Singers, you will have practice tomorrow on Monday, and that is 3 p.m. Is it 3 p.m.? Yeah. 3 o'clock p.m. So be there, be square. We're going to sing some tunes. We're going to have some fun. That makes people not rush to get to choir practice, and you can exercise that talent and ability like Makenia does. If you got it, use it. I am somewhere not on this planet yet, but I'm working on it, so I'm probably forgotten some things. So I'm going to ask David if he'll come up, close us out in prayer, and then do what you need to do. But remember, the more time you take doing this, the later you get to lunch, because we're going to start a business meeting here very, very shortly. Brother David.
An article in there about Camp Carefree. You can put into practice what the pastor's been talking about today. We're asking folks to sign up. There's a sign up sheet out there. You can sign up to serve. We're going to serve breakfast, lunch, and dinner at Camp Carefree the week of July the 4th, which will be July the 2nd through the 5th. And you can sign up to help one meal, one day, be there for every meal, whatever you want to do. You sign up, there's a place to tell you, for you to write how much I can do. If you're not sure today, put your name down, and then next week put down how much you're going to do. We want you to be a part of that. You don't have to get on a plane and fly to a foreign country. You can get in your car and drive up to Stokesdale, 20 minutes from here, and that's where we're going to be. God planted a seed in our heart last year on the 4th of July when about 20 of us went up and served a meal. This is a camp for special kids who are have special needs. And our camp week is for kids who have cancer. And so if you want to be a part of that ministry, sign up today. Also, we're in that time of year when we're promoting Annie Armstrong offering for North American missions. Part of that money goes for Cuba and other things like that here in North America, planting churches. Information in your bulletin about that. Just pay attention, read that, get involved, get plugged in where God is leading you to be involved. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for a church that loves missions. We thank you for the opportunity that you give us. Lord, we don't consider it a burden. We consider it an opportunity to serve you. Father, help us as individuals to get involved, personally involved in the ministry of ministering to others. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Did you
mention Hannah's Haven? Oh, excuse me. Hannah's Haven. There's also a note in the bulletin about they need some folks to help do some physical labor at Hannah's Haven. Read that note in the bulletin. See me if you want to go do that.